The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside, issue number 136. And John, what's the title?
I don't know exactly. Is it Loki episode one or Loki pilot?
Loki.
Premiere Loki. Discussion or yeah. Something. Yeah, Loki. Well, yeah. We're going to talk about Loki more, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's got to go with Loki.
You guys already know because you've read it, but I don't know.
So, I don't even
Loki
know.
Loki something.
Yeah. Loki something or other.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We opened the show with it. We closed the show with it.
That's right. We bookended with Loki. So.
Exactly. So you kind of got to go with that. So a lot of books this week. Only a few. You'll check out was good. We had a good time, but it's tough to top last week. So Hence Loki. But a lot of speculator books this week. A lot of news. New title for our news section we just came up with this week. So you're going to get to hear that. So all exciting news, right?
You got it.
All right. Let's get into the store.
All right.
Johnny Rockets, how we doing, buddy?
Hola, DJ.
Oh, no. Don't do that to me.
I'm doing good.
Hang on a minute. I gotta go. I gotta Google that. What was that? Hola.
Muy bien. Usted.
Oh man, my Spanish teacher's coming. Being yelled at by a Spanish teacher is flooding back.
Senora Murphy.
Yeah. It's like, so, have I told the story when I got caught cheating in Spanish on this podcast?
Oh, I don't think so.
And you remember Rob Luke?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting with Rob, and remember the tables we had? They were like table for two. You sat next to a person. So she calls me up. I can't remember. It was Spanish too, by the way. Rich Guzman
was almost
in,
fluent by then.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rich Guzman was in the class. If you remember Rich, the Prince impersonator, literally looked like him, dressed like him, everything. But anyways, so Rob and I are sitting at a table together every day. That's where we sat. And she calls me up and she told me she's giving me a zero because I was cheating. And I was like, I wasn't cheating. And I'm like, we didn't even get the same grade. What are you talking about? And she goes, all of your answers were identical except for one. I go, well, there you go. I go, well, how could I be cheating if I got it wrong? He got it right. She goes, the one you answered wrong was, and all the questions were in English, were in Spanish. And you had to give your answer, read it in Spanish and give your answer in Spanish. And I didn't know question five was, what is your name? And I answered Roberto. And I just like, my argument was so solid. And then I was like, okay, I'll go back to my seat with the zero. Thank you.
I'm not cheating. I'm way ahead of her.
Yeah, exactly. What's she talking about? We don't even have the same answers. You actually do. Then why is his right? This is why.
Yeah. So. He got 100, you get a 99.
Yeah.
I said your name was Roberto.
Oh, man. So there, my Spanish career and my career as a lawyer all down the tubes in one day. Yeah. So thanks for that. Yeah. But all right, going to do something a little different here. We're jumping right to it. I'm doing this. We haven't talked ahead of time. We don't know anything. You don't know what I'm about to do, but it's up on the screen. Let's do it right now.
Which get I still it can't see.
I know. I know you can. Everybody on YouTube is going, I know what it is. All 18 people.
Yeah.
Six of them are us.
18.
Oh, geez. So anyways, let's get this out of the way. It's a big deal. It's dropping again tomorrow. Loki, spoiler free. We'll do it now. We're definitely doing Kryptonite Key Club on Loki at the end of the podcast because there's a lot to dive into there. What were your first impressions?
I thought it was okay. I can tell by your reaction that I didn't like it as much as you did. I thought it was fine. It's a good start, I thought, but I felt like they spent too much time. Like, it was a clip show. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch of flashbacks. And I don't feel like at the end of the day they did more than just established that. Like, they established his past more than what this story is about. Now, I mean, I know at the very end, you know, they did set up who the protagonist was going to be. But I don't know. I just felt like we got WandaVision, right? Mm-hmm. And they dropped 3 episodes on us and they just said, here you go. You figure it out. Right?
Right.
And then we get to Loki and it's like a paint by numbers. Here's step 1. Here's step 2. Here's step 3. So I thought it was a little bit of that. Now, with all that being said, like, Tom Hiddleston, again, I've mentioned it before, he's like infinitely charming and watchable and is super fun. And
I can't wait to get into it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. But overall, I didn't like it as much as WandaVision or Falcon Winter Soldier at
really?
This point. Yeah.
There's
5 more episodes, so
yeah.
we'll see what happens.
But I've already recorded my home theater podcast version, and I'm like, I said in that one, I go, for spoilers, go to this podcast, listen to Kryptonite. We're going to talk spoilers there, and I can't wait to get into that with you. But I did say that I like this better than WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier for various reasons.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not sure what you would be like. Sometimes we're the same. Sometimes we differ. That's what makes it great. I never know. And yeah, I'm a little surprised, but I agree with what you're saying. I like what you're saying. And I think we can really break that down later because I think we're going to have some fun in Kryptonite today is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Either we were going to agree and we would have a blast at Kryptonite or we're going to disagree on some things. And that's always fun. We have a blast at Kryptonite. Or actually, people get to listen to us, and it's not a blast for us, but it is for them.
Right. Well, I don't think we're going to differ so much
that
it's going to be contentious. But I think, we have some differing opinions.
Right. This isn't a helmet in the garage type difference.
Exactly. Right.
But, like you, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a little bit more. I think it's the best so far. And I also think, I'll say that spoiler free, I think what you were saying about the clips episode, I think that's what we're going to get. But I think they're doing it to reset everything. And we're going to learn so much about what we thought we already knew. And that's kind of what we really liked with WandaVision. You know, we thought it was resetting the universe. Well, I think clearly this
doubles down on the idea of the multiverse and things that are going to come again. I think this also will lead pretty directly into Doctor Strange. Not so much in that we're going to see him again, but it's definitely setting up the ideas that we're going to see there. So, I have a lot of promise. Like I said, I think it has a lot of promise and I have a lot of high hopes for it, but I think we didn't like the pilot as much as each other.
Right. Yeah. Like we said last week, with House on a Lake, Nice House on a Lake. It's like, what a great start, but it could fall off a cliff. I doubt this show is going to fall off a cliff.
Oh, I doubt it too.
Marvel.
Because again, it's Marvel and they've built up too much goodwill for that to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. That is fair. Looking forward to Kryptonite in what, John? Couple, 2-3 hours from
now? Hour and a half. Yeah. three and a half
we'll
hours.
We'll get to it.
What? I was just saying, I listened to the Fat Man Beyond podcast, the Kevin Smith, Mark Bernardin.
Yeah.
And like week after week, it is just like steadily getting longer and longer. Like this week's podcast was like 3.5 hours long. And I'm like, man, I just don't have that kind of time. And I know it's a podcast.
Right.
But like we've said before, I have a very short commute. Like that's a whole week of me listening to that podcast. So I was like, man, these guys went from a pretty tight 2 hours to like 2:20, 2.5. This week was like 3.5. I'm like,
it's like us.
Hey, crap. Like next week is going to be like 17 hours. It's going to be like a telethon.
Oh, you know?
I'm going to have to give a donation while I'm listening to it. So
Jerry Lewis jumps in.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. It's obviously my home theater started off that way. Remember when I started home theater?
Yeah,
I was
like
20 minutes.
15 minutes. Yeah.
20
15,
minutes.
20 minutes.
Just going to give you the. And then I started seeing right now I'm trying to do tighter shows with just like giving some like quick shots of movies, right? Because I was looking back at some of my movies and I'm like, oh, look at this movie. Spider-Man, for instance, Tobey Maguire's first Spider-Man. Right. I reviewed that. I think I talked about like six scenes. It's right. one of my favorite movies. I mean, you and I could talk about that for a couple hours, right? Right. And I was like, wow, look at that. But then I do a movie like a couple months ago and I'm like, this scene, and I break it down, which is fine. The listeners are enjoying it. I enjoy doing it, but it's so time consuming and I got to find right. a way to have a happy medium, but. Hey,
well, when it's a 2-hour movie and it's a 4-hour podcast, something's well, a little off there.
Not really, because you have to talk about those scenes. This is why my right. dad's eyes used to glaze over.
Right.
I'd watch a half-hour TV show, come upstairs and tell him about it in 2 hours.
Well, I mean, we watch Star Wars. It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes, and we've talked about it for 47 years. So I guess you know, I guess that takes the cake, right? So,
exactly. Exactly.
And still haven't like run out of things to talk about.
No, because you just mentioned Star Wars and I was like, hey, John, guess what? Right. It's like I had a listener from home theater ask me if I'm the only fan, home theater fan that has never seen Star Wars and that I've talked to. And I said, I have to say yes.
Yeah.
Because I've met a lot of people that have said they don't like it.
Right.
But not ones that have said, nope, never seen it. And
yeah,
like,
I don't know many
he doesn't
people
like
that
it.
Have
he's
never
tried
seen.
It, but he doesn't yeah. like it. He's seen, like, he started, but never watched it in its entirety. And he right. doesn't like it. And I said, that I can
fair.
Understand.
Yeah, fair.
Right. Because but. If you're not, and I said, we talk about it all the time. If you're not brought up into it, if you're not brought up in the Star Wars lore, then you won't get it. And right. that's what that is. You and I live the lore, but then we pass it on to our kids. And if you right. don't have that, then you just don't get it. And that's fine. That's fine. I don't mean it like you're, well, screw you. I mean,
oh, I mean, I know plenty of people that don't right. like it necessarily, but I don't think I know many people that haven't ever seen it. My
right.
son-in-law had actually never seen it. And my daughter like introduced him to it a few years ago. And now he's like huge fan. Like he's sucked
yeah.
into the whole thing. But yeah, he had never really seen it. And he was, you know.
Yeah.
Probably in his mid-20s, like 25, 26. I don't yeah. know how old he was. So, I mean, it happens. They're out there, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You just got to look.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there was a tweet this week about what movie was better, and it was something against Empire Strikes Back. And I was like, Empire.
I don't even need to know what the other
exactly.
movie was.
Exactly. That's my point. It doesn't matter. And my point was, this movie ended with Luke, I am your father. And 3 years of playground right. debate until we heard anything else. Right. End of story. No movie. No other movie can do that, especially nowadays with the internet.
Well, yeah, you couldn't do it now anyway.
Right.
But right. It doesn't matter what the other movie was. And maybe I like the other movie better, but it
oh, I'm
would
sure
never
we
be better.
We both do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you can't. I mean, the you know, it's crazy. What are you laughing at?
We've just launched into like a 10-minute Star Wars conversation
right.
because but, I mentioned that we've been talking about it for 42 years.
Well, add on another year, John.
Yeah. Well, 42 years and 10 minutes.
Keep on talking. So, yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, hey, I don't – I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, then really, do they
oh,
mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, more Star Wars talk, click.
If you listen to the two of us and you don't want to hear about Star Wars, you find another show to listen to.
Oh,
it comes up frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, just look behind me if you're looking at YouTube, which,
know.
You know, shameless plug for YouTube. We need to get up to 19 viewers.
Yeah. I don't have your collection, but I have something Star yeah. Wars behind me.
Yeah. I would say there's like, Darth Vader there. There's
yep.
Star Wars all over this recording. So,
yep. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the birthplace of my love of home theater, too. But, okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to get to some... We call it breaking news. I'm trying to come up with something better because it's the news we like to talk about, but that's
right.
too long. So, are you ready to get to some breaking news?
You could just call
news?
It geek news, I guess, right? But I think somebody else
has
already
that.
Using
yeah.
that.
Yeah. News
actually,
to chat
Hollywood
about.
Hollywood Babylon uses geek news, as a matter of fact.
News chatter.
Yeah.
There it is. I just came up
chatter.
With it. News chatter, actually. All right. You ready for that? I got to come up with a sound up for news chatter, but here we go.
All right. So it looks like the Warner Brothers is planning on having their upcoming Blue Beetle movie be an HBO Max premiere movie as opposed to a theatrical release. Along with the aforementioned Batgirl movie, which they're doing the same thing. I'm not quite sure how. I'll be honest with you.
Is this animated or live action?
No, this is a live action. Live action. Movie, and I don't like this move, to be honest with you. And I didn't like it with Batgirl either, because it feels to me. And here I'm gonna sound woke. I'm gonna sound more woke than I actually am. But why is it? Like, we'll get the completely white bread Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent movies on the big screen all day long. But when it's the female Batgirl movie or the Hispanic-led Blue Beetle movie, like, these aren't movies that have the confidence to go to the big screen. Like, these are things that are going to HBO Max. I know they need content there, but I feel like both of these movies, especially these two movies, could be huge theatrical, really. Just, like, go back to... like Black Panther a couple years ago for Marvel. Like, this Blue Beetle movie, I think, could be a huge theatrical release. And I just kind of feel like they're squandering this with HBO Max. So,
my first impression of it was that DC doesn't have the confidence Marvel does.
That's
most simple way to put it, because we'll go back to our old Guardians of the Galaxy comparison.
Well, and then the Eternals coming up.
Correct.
You know,
exactly.
Thing.
But we don't know how successful Eternals is going to be yet. Chances are it's going to be. But Guardians turned out to be one of the better movies, some people's favorites, right? But little known characters. DC, for all intents and purposes, according to the popular opinion, doesn't mean it's the right opinion or my opinion, but the popular opinion is they've fumbled the ball on every character they've used so far.
Right.
Right? And still doing great numbers, but what is it going to be like for them when they put out an unknown character to the masses? And I just don't think they have the confidence in that. And if it comes out and flops on the big screen, I think it looks like a big flop, as opposed to if it... I know. I agree with you. I would love to see this in the big on the big screen.
Yeah,
but it's. I just think this isn't. It's not about the characters. I think it's more about their confidence in just what they're doing.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I just feel like it's a wasted opportunity. Like, I think that these movies should be given the chance to come to.
Yeah,
like I said, come to the big screen. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I agree.
That's what they're doing. So
all right.
Yeah.
Moving along, we get Star Wars.
Yeah, more Star Wars talk. Bad news for Mando fans, though. It looks like Pedro Pascal was doing an interview earlier in the week and confirmed that season 3 of The Mandalorian is not yet in production. So I think we kind of knew we weren't going to get an end of the year.
Have you heard why yet?
No, I mean, I'm sure Book of Boba Fett has something to do with it, but...
Actually, it's Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan series is filming on the same stage, basically that big state-of-the-art stage that literally now there's only one of them. They're trying to film all these shows.
So they can only film one show at a time.
Yeah. So in my research and your notes, I was like, oh, I found this. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But they're going to go one right into another. And the article that I read, I was on Cinema Blend, and they were like, I don't think any Star Wars fans are going to be hurting because, like you said, we're getting the Book of Boba Fett. Then shortly after that, we'll be getting Obi-Wan series. Then we'll get Mando 3. So, yes.
Yeah, no lack of content. And, like I said, we're, the Book of Boba Fett already kind of guaranteed that we weren't going to get Mandalorian in November or December of this year anyways. But, being that it's not even in production, it'll probably be the end of the year next year. I would guess when we get it. It'll probably be the November, December release of 2022. And, in the meantime, we should get Andor and Obi-Wan.
Yep.
So, we're not going to be hurting at all. So.
Nope. One note out of that I think we've kind of overlooked. The good news is you said, what's his name? Mando himself was the one that is mentioning this, and there were a lot of rumors that he coming back.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, you're right. That was a big topic of conversation. But again, I think it was unfounded conversation.
Of course. Most of what we have is.
Well, that's true. Most of our chatter is unfounded.
But you see how, like, you overlook it a little bit, but here we have him actually, what's his name?
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro, there you go. Yeah. For him to actually be talking about it means he's involved. So I thought, you know, that's great news.
No, that's great news. Yeah, I didn't even think of that part of it because I couldn't imagine a world where he wasn't coming back. So
I need him under that helmet.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think we see his face a little bit more coming up next season.
I do too.
You know, now that they've, you know, kind of let the cat out of the bag a couple of times this last season, you know, clearly he's not following that religion to the letter anymore. And I think we may see it. I'm not necessarily thinking he's going to run around with no helmet the entire season, but I think we see it quite a bit more.
I have one. So. This is really good. Our buddy Zach down in your neck of the woods there, he sent me a thing on Instagram, and there it is. That's a pain in the butt. It's not coming up. But anyways, it was talking about what the Mandalorian has taught us is that, have you seen this one? Is that Yoda being on, what is it? What's the planet he was on? Is that Bespin?
Dagobah.
Yeah. Him being on Dagobah wasn't just like a random hiding place, because what we've learned from Mando is that Yoda being on Dagobah, he was the alpha predator. It's like everywhere he was, he just eating everything around him, because you see what baby Yoda's just chowing down on every little tiny creature.
So
all the other animals. All the other animals around Yoda were probably like, just don't eat me. Don't eat me. That was a pretty cool little
That's funny.
Clip he sent me. All right, what are we on to next? Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, your favorite. I knew you would like this, but it looks like Netflix has confirmed, well, not an exact date, but it looks like we're getting season 2 of Lock and Key in October of this coming year. So I don't know exactly what day, but just a few months away. I would imagine probably closer to the end of the month where Halloween is.
Super exciting. You know.
We may see, yeah.
I am.
I'm
It'll
not sure
fun.
What season 2
it.
Is even about, because season one was like all 6 graphic novels, so I'm not sure where we even go from here, but I don't know. Again, this was one that I liked quite a bit more than you did. I actually enjoyed the show, even though, you know, going back and reading all the graphic novels afterwards. And, you know, we're going to talk about that again later, because I've read some Sweet Tooth as well.
Cool.
And there are some major differences between these books and the shows that we get on, you know, on these streamers. So, but yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to this. So
remind me when we get to Sweet Tooth. I got a tweet from our buddy Tom Bellows mentioning that. So I'll drop it in there. Lock and Key. We'll watch it. My wife and I will watch it, because we watched the first season and we did enjoy it. Just not as much as you. I was a little bit like, but we'll see. We will see. Always looking for more. And next up, this is
It looks like we're getting a Spawn spinoff series revolving around Sam and Twitch, which we've heard this before. This was actually in development years ago. Kevin Smith was writing and developing a Sam and Twitch spinoff. But it looks like this one is going to be handled by the producer from Mayor of Easttown, who is riding high right now after the end of that series. And, you know, obviously Todd McFarlane will be involved. No word on the home for this yet. I would hedge my bets towards HBO Max, because that's where, you know, Warner Brothers has the other movie and the other shows. But no word on where this is coming from, so, or where it's going to be. But it is in the works.
All right. All right. Next up, we have a little She-Hulk update.
Yeah, a little She-Hulk news. Jamila Jamil, who I loved on The Good Place. I thought she was fantastic. Oh, okay. No? Oh, you would like it. It's great. She's been cast as Titania who was like the main villain for She-Hulk in the upcoming series. So yeah, to me, this just makes me even more excited because I thought she was. And now again, The Good Place was a comedy. And yeah. So, you know, she was very funny on this. I don't know what her role will be like in the She-Hulk series, although they have said that it is a somewhat comedy drama. So
right.
There might be some of that here.
I have zero knowledge of her acting, but just by your description, I'm picturing a sarcastic villain.
Yeah,
that's usually what they do. It'd be like,
I don't know Titania all that well either. I mean, I've seen her in the comics from time to time. But I'm not super familiar with her, but, should be good. I'm really looking forward to that show.
Yeah. When does that do? Do you have any idea?
Or they no, just I mean, casting? I just know they're in early filming and development. So
I
have no idea where it is. I'm not sure where it falls on the list anymore. You know,
right.
I think we definitely get Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel before we get to this or Moon Knight. So actually, we probably get to Secret Invasion before this as well. So this is probably late next year, I would guess. I don't have any. Yeah.
Stuff just.
Just like Star Wars,
away.
We won't be hurting for anything. So
No.
There'll be plenty. Although this is one that I'm actually really anticipating because, you know, I know you didn't watch Orphan Black and you don't really know the other actress either, but Tatiana Maslany I think is great also. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
Cool. Next up, Castlevania.
Yeah, so fresh off of the series finale, which just aired on Netflix for Castlevania Season 4, looks like they have announced a spinoff series that takes place. This is going to be... it takes place after the events of what we just watched, I guess, by a few generations. I'm not super up on the games or any of the lore, but Castlevania focused on Trevor Belmont and Alucard, and this one, I think, follows Richter Belmont, who's a character from the game, and I think like a descendant of Trevor. So, other than that, I don't know anything about it, but I liked Castlevania a lot. I thought Season 4 was pretty good. And, you know, I love to get back into that world. So
I watched a couple seasons of it a while ago. I didn't get back into it, but I did enjoy it. So,
yeah.
But now there's going to be a spinoff. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty I think cool. It's, like I said, this should be good.
Cool. Next up. This
one kind of came out of nowhere,
not
right?
Not sure how I feel about it either.
Yeah. This is. There was an announcement that came out that they're working on an anime feature film in the world of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And this takes place in the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings universe. This is called War of the Rohirrim, and it focuses on Helm's Deep, and more specifically Helm Hammerhand, who Helm's Deep was named after. And so it's going to follow his story there and the Horse Lords and the Rohirrim and all of that good stuff. So, and it looks like it's being fast tracked to come out probably in conjunction with the series that Amazon is putting out. They won't be related at all, but I think just word of mouth will help
both of the
projects. So, I don't know. Like, I'm always down for more Lord of the Rings, and this is story that I don't think has been told. I don't know if it's based on any of Tolkien's actual writing, but I don't know. I'm always down for more Lord of the Rings. So
see, the thing that had me skeptical was the anime part. And I was like, because Lord of the Rings, other than the books, it's so far has just been live action and so well done and so well thought of. And now we're just going to go to anime. But at the same time, you know, Star Wars did, you know, the Rebels,
Clone Wars, all that.
Right. And the depth that they were able to pull out of those characters going in that route, we loved it. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, it's like I could picture us kind of doing the same thing and being like, wow. And I'm wondering if they're thinking the same thing. Like they see what happened with Star Wars and how they expanded that universe with animation. And to do that, I mean, especially like when we get to Bad Batch tonight.
Right.
Same thing. It's like the animation. It's just, it depends on how well it comes out, it, whether, you know, anime, but I know that's just slightly different style, but all animation.
Right.
It could be a lot of fun, and I mean, it could expand the universe.
Well, that's what I was going to say. In this day and age, every corner of every IP that people even remotely like is going to be explored, right? Because whether it's for movies or the umpteen million streaming services or things that need content constantly, we're just going to see so much of these things that we probably couldn't have even thought of.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we'll, in, you know, we'll like most of it. You know, we won't like it all, but...
we're waiting for the offer for us to go to anime.
I know, right? Can't wait.
So. You could stop showering.
That's right.
It's just a voice.
Oh, man. That... Well, speaking of, like, we were talking about the heat last week. It's like, I just drove home from work, and it's like I had to take a shower when I got here.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah. It was really bad.
Just walking to the car and from the car.
I'm in a sweatshirt today.
I know, but it's like well over 100 here today. Oh, and it really feels it. Like beautiful. It was hot. Yeah. So I was like, oh, man, I put the dog out, walked in the house, and I was like, man, I need a shower.
Yeah. So, it's warmer here today. I've been wearing sweatshirts. I haven't been feeling well. My body temperature has been pretty low. I've been pretty chilly. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But anyways. See, we could sidetrack and it doesn't have to involve Star Wars.
Right. But,
but
we're getting right back into it.
Here we go.
Yeah. This I don't think is a huge surprise.
No.
But it's cool nonetheless. It looks like both Ben Mendelsohn and Forrest Whitaker are confirmed to return for the Andor series, also being worked on for Disney Plus. So since this takes place prior to the events of Rogue One, it makes sense that these characters would be around.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Saw Gerrera goes back quite a ways in the, you know, Star Wars lore at this point.
Right. The character does.
Krennic. You know, not as much. So it'd be interesting to see where he fits into this. But look, I like Ben Mendelsohn and Forrest Whitaker, so I think it'd be great to have both of them.
Yeah. So what this reminds me of is how things have changed. It was 30 years ago, if you were in a movie, you didn't do TV. You were a movie star.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? And now it's everybody, it's just like, of course. And what I'm saying is it's not of course these guys will do that, they're doing it. It's that, like you said, kind of not really a big surprise. Oh, right. Of course they're doing a TV show, or they're going to be part of the series. It's like, right. Because that's what, like you said, like all of these IP, they're being explored. And these characters, these actors, they're working in all the different places. And there is no, I don't feel like there's a status anymore.
Right.
Like movie star, TV star, where it used to be that way.
Yeah. But, you know, think about it. You know, like Rogue One was a movie that we never thought we would get, in a story we never thought we would see, and now we're getting a spinoff to the movie we never thought we would get or see.
Well, so, Rogue One was answer to a punchline.
Exactly.
You know? And so
this one is now, it's like, now we're even deeper into that. So
What punchline are they going to answer with the series? Yeah, exactly. I bet you they do, because there's plenty of them, and I'm sure they'll answer one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And we won't even know. We'll be like, oh, my God, I didn't even think of that. That's so cool. All right, let's get off of Star Wars for a second.
Aquaman 2, the working title for Aquaman 2 was revealed. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Is the title.
John, we're a serious news station. Don't make jokes
I'm sorry.
People take us dead seriously.
Now, I'm hoping the Lost Kingdom isn't Atlantis, because like we were just there. So I feel like they already know where that is. So yeah, I don't know what the Lost Kingdom refers to. But again, that is the working title. So
maybe it's a time period piece that goes back in time. That's when they had misplaced the kingdom.
Yeah, it sunk. They didn't know where it was.
Right,
because it used to be in the desert. There's a lot of flora on the ocean, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, All right. Another one here. We have...
Yeah, last but not least, it looks like we have the free-for-all date for Black Widow on Disney+. Plus.
So funny. Free-for-all.
I know. But, you know, Black Widow comes out July 9th, and it will be day and date on Disney+. Plus. So premiere access, you'll have to pay your $30 or $40 or whatever they charge you to get it. On October 6th, Black Widow will be free-for-all on Disney+. Plus. So
yep.
I, for one, can't wait till October to see this, but...
You won't wait till October to see it?
Yeah, I can't wait until October to see it.
Now, so. I know you're going to see it in the theater because the two of us haven't stopped going to theaters, but will you get it at home as well?
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I don't know that I'll pay the $30 to get it at home once I see it in the theater because I would rather just buy the 4K disc, you know.
But that won't be till October.
Well, right, but my viewing of this won't live on Disney Plus going forward. Yeah. You know, like I'll watch it on my 4K disc. So,
unless I
have to see it again between July and October, like if it's just that good, maybe I will. But
yeah, now they're doing the premium version, right? So you have to buy it to see it at home, like HBO Max where you get it for free or go to the movies. So
I really wish, I had this idea before, and I know that I understand why they won't do this, but I really think there should be a way to like enter a code from your movie ticket into
Disney Plus. You and I talked about that a while ago. Yeah.
I brought it up the last time they did this. Like if I've already spent my money on it, but you know, the logic would be if you go see it twice in the movie theater, you can't bring in the same ticket twice. So I understand all of that, but
not anymore.
Yeah, but I feel like if I've spent my money on it at the theater, they should give it to me at home for free. But
no, but at the same time, we said when we talked about it.
Or at least maybe like a discounted price on it, right? Like maybe I get it for $15 if I can show that I had a movie stub or something, you know.
Yeah. You should get it at home if you've fear of releasing it at home
is like
nobody
will
go to the theater.
Right. It's like the digital copy when you buy a 4K, you know.
Yeah,
you just enter in your code and you get the digital copy for free.
Exactly. So that would be nice. So maybe somebody's listening, John. Who knows?
I hope so. Like we have reach. I know. So.
Yeah, I mean into the teens.
Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of pull out there, so hopefully somebody can make this happen.
It's not how many. It's actually who.
Right.
We only need
that one powerful listener. We don't need that many of them.
So, and my wife and your wife don't listen. They don't listen anymore on their own. Yeah. So other than that, we're looking for more powerful than that. So.
Right.
All right. I've got a couple here. Did you hear this one about DC and Harley Quinn team and editing a scene? You didn't hear this one?
No, I didn't.
So it's been all.
For Suicide Squad?
No, Harley Quinn, the TV show.
The adult animated series.
And I won't read it on YouTube, but they actually give the act on YouTube discussing film, but we are a friendly podcast. So I'll read the tweet, but I'll say you'll get if you're an adult, you'll understand it. If you're a kid, it'll go over your head. DC asked the Harley Quinn team to remove a scene from season 3 in which Batman performs with Catwoman. Okay.
Oh, really?
I edited. Yeah.
Okay.
Performs on Catwoman. That's it.
On Catwoman.
Yes.
So not with Catwoman.
Not with. Yes. I should have said. Okay. Yeah. I was trying
I get it.
Okay. I know. And everybody
else. I got the
visual. Yeah, exactly. They said, well, there were other.
I've seen that movie.
There were other. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of interesting that it's Catwoman as well. Well, there was a pun there somewhere. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But anyways, quote, they were like, no, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going in south. Let's say that. I've read this on Twitter. I don't know how true this is. But at the same time, that explanation right there, that's why I included it, them saying, no, we sell this toy, because a lot went on in that adult show.
Right.
They had you know, Harley and Ivy together. There was, there were a lot of different acts going on in that show that, that kind of surprises me. But until I read that quote, which that, that quote was kind of weird how they were like, they were like, so it, clearly it was a, not a professional on the job, but somebody that was in the room maybe. But yeah, I could see them saying, nope, you can't have the hero do it. You can't have a Batman or a Superman.
It goes back to the whole Bat-Pole, Bat-Wang incident with Batman Damned.
Right.
Like if it was Constantine or another hero, you know, hell, they had no problem when it was Dr. Manhattan. But when it's Batman and, you know, your entire brand is Batman, like it should just be Batman comics at this point, you know, because it's like 90% of their publishing line. So yeah, they've proven that they're not willing to go there with their marquee characters,
and they don't want it even in any kind of entity, because at first I was like,
innuendo, no any of that,
right?
So
but like at first I was like, but it's an adult show, so what's the difference? But in this day and age, nothing stays where it was put.
Well, and Batman Damned was an adult comic. I mean, it was Black Label. It was solicited that way specifically.
Right. But with the age of the internet,
they put his junk in there, and then they had to pull it. So I mean, I don't know. I don't just don't know how else to say it. You're welcome, Dr. Joe.
Oh, come on.
That one just came to me.
Yep. Oh, boy. More puns.
I know.
No, but what I'm saying is like if you put stuff out there, it doesn't stay where it's supposed to.
Right.
It ends up on Twitter and it ends up as a meme. And then kids would see the meme and be like, why is Batman doing this? You know, and it's so then when you start to think about it, you're like, all right, there is some validity to that. I can picture that. So hopefully we were okay with that. If you have kids in the car, we apologize. That's the best we could do. Moving on. Jupiter's Legacy Season 2's demise seems to be a little bit premature. No pun there. So,
I'm saying I haven't heard this either.
So. All right, here we go. So I was listening to Comic Talk today, our buddy Dustin over there, part of the Nerdy Legion as well. And he was saying that it's not being taken away. It's on hiatus, much like Mindhunters. So if you, and he used this comparison, that's why I'm using the comparison. So if you remember the show Mindhunters, which was on HBO, right? Yeah. We loved that show. Well, they allowed the actors out of their contracts. But the reason they were allowed out of their contracts is because the writer for the show wasn't able to continue on the show because of other commitments. So they allowed the actors, go do what you want. When we're ready to come back, we'll talk. We'll see what happens. And the rumors are right now, Mindhunters is coming back. Because if you remember, that had like 5 seasons planned for it.
And, right.
But anyways, they let them out of their contracts. We all assume when that means we're done. But it just means go off, do what you want, we'll come back and we'll revisit. Much like that's what might be going on with Jupiter's Legacy. And I did my own little research to see if I could find some quotes. And here's one I have. I have it up here on YouTube. And it says, strangely, neither Millar or Netflix has said that the series is officially canceled. It's likely that it has been, but Millar's Twitter statement appears to suggest that the TV show could hopefully return in some form in the future. With that in mind, the Jupiter's Legacy Season 2 hub will remain online for the time being. You'll be able to read everything we did, blah, 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 and it goes on. But what they're saying is the actors were allowed out of their contract, and there are quotes out there of Millar saying that that's what they're talking about, his Twitter statement, that he's saying that we'll come back in the future. So,
well, we'll see. Like I said, I enjoyed it, so
yeah,
I'd be down for another season.
And the other part is, going to, what was the other one? The villains one that they're going. That's animated.
Super Crooks.
Right, Super Crooks. That's going to be animated. So that, another way of saving money. I didn't understand that when we were talking about that last week, how we were like, oh, this is. So they'll do that. Millar's going to work on this. And there was something else that Millar was working on that's why they let the actors out. but they most likely will revisit, and some of the other
stuff. Well, they're working on Magic Order over there for Netflix, and Prodigy, I believe.
Okay.
Are two comics that are being developed. So I think Magic Order, though, is in active development. So could be that.
Yeah. So, but anyways, it was funny that we talked about it last week, and then I hear Dustin talking about it on Comic Talk today, and I'm like, ooh, and he goes, it's not necessarily canceled. Doesn't mean it isn't, but
right.
If you loved the show and enjoyed the show, which according to, like we said, all of the metrics and everything, it didn't do really badly.
No.
But it kind of waned a little bit, but it still did really well. So hopefully they'll revisit that, and we'll get our continuation of that story.
Yeah, like I said, I hope so. You haven't finished it yet, right?
No. Now I'm not in a huge hurry.
I was going to say, yeah, there is a big cliffhanger at the end of it. So.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm one episode away from finishing that. I think I did one this week. I can't really remember, but of course, I'm enjoying it. So,
right.
All right. Are we ready to get to our comics this week?
Sure.
Because we have a bunch for Speculator, especially. What do we got, like 20 books or something like that?
There's a bunch here.
Yeah. So, all right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
First book we're going to take a look at is Geiger issue number 1. The fourth printing for this came out today. Not a lot of hype on that main cover, but true to form, there's a 1 in 25 variant for our fourth printing, and that one seems to be going for a bit over ratio at about $35. So don't know how many of these are out there. It may not be the easiest thing to find on a fourth printing, but if you can pick one up, you might want to grab it. G.I. Joe 283, the 1 in 10 cover here features a new character called Sherlock. I feel like we did for this already.
Yeah.
But in any case, there's some speculator interest. A couple of issues back, it says. So yeah. Her appearance here on this book, though,
it's
is going
first time on the cover.
Yeah. It's going for over ratio at $25. So it's pretty good price for a 1 in 10 variant.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jupiter's Legacy, Jupiter's Legacy Requiem comes out, and there's a couple of incentives for this. There's a silver foil 1 in 10 variant that's selling for up to $15, and then there's a gold foil thank you variant that was sent one per store. That one's selling for between $35 and $40.
Yeah. Beautiful covers.
Yeah, especially those gold and silver foil covers. They're both really nice.
Yeah. And for those of you not on YouTube and just listening, the silver one is silver and the gold one is gold.
Yeah, funny. Funny how I would have done it the other way around personally, but you know, I'm a rebel.
Yeah, you are.
All right. Many Deaths of Layla Starr, number 3.
I'm just there trying to contribute, John.
I know. And I appreciate it. There's a one per store unlockable variant for this that's selling for between $25 and $35. And the 1 in 25 variant is selling for about the same here.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Didn't get an image for that one.
Didn't get it. Okay. All right. Okay. Mighty Valkyries, number 3. There's a 1 in 50 Jimenez Pride Month variant cover here that's selling for about $80. Again, I feel like a 1 in 50 on this title, these things are probably going to be tough to come by.
I hope I got this cover right, because I've seen a lot of Pride Month covers and they all have something in them. I didn't see anything in this cover, but it was labeled as the, you know, Jimenez Pride Month one, or the 1 in 50. And it's just pink.
So I don't know.
I mean, it's pink. It's got a character, you know, Valkyrie on the cover, but holding a skull, but I don't see something that would say like Pride Month, you know, like some of the other ones you'll see, they'll have like the rainbows in the logo or something. This didn't have anything. So I don't know.
Yeah. Not sure. All right. Nightwing,
nice cover.
81. Well, yeah, I guess I'll take your word for it.
Take a look.
Nightwing 81. Video. This might be a mild spoiler. I haven't read this issue yet. But this is the first, it says, first full appearance of Heartless / Nightwing's sister. Now, I don't know if that is one and the same person or what actually that means, because I haven't had a chance to read this yet. But we were introduced to Heartless last issue. So if this is, in fact, Nightwing's sister, that's pretty interesting. But in any case, there's the main cover is selling for about $15 on this, and the Pride Month variant is selling for about $10 here.
Now, this one is clear as day is Pride Month. Have you seen that cover?
I have. Yes, I have them. I have them on the shelf.
Yeah. And you have Nightwing jumping over a flagpole, and the flag is a rainbow flag. I mean, that's and the logo, and it also says Pride in the DC logo. It's all in the rainbow colors. It's a really nice cover.
It is actually a really nice cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Nightwing's been kind of on a tear ever since like issue 77 or 78.
Yeah, since the
since the new team came, Tom Taylor and the new team came on. It's been really good. So this one should be great too. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yes.
Next up, we have Nottingham number 4. This one's cooled down a little bit since the last issue, but still selling for about $10. I think retailers have finally caught up to this one, and the demand isn't quite there as much as it was. Radiant Black number 5, the 1 in 25 variant here is going for about double ratio at around $50.
Wow.
So pretty good price for that.
It's a nice cover too. Really cool.
Yeah, and Radiant Black has been a good series.
Yeah, so, it has.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that this week.
Yeah. From Boom, there's a new series called Save Yourself, issue number 1. Looks like there's a 1 in 50 variant that, once again, there probably isn't a ton of these floating around, but it's selling for about $50. And the unlockable 1 per store variant looks like it's selling for between $30 and $35.
Coming soon. Couldn't find an image for that. I got like 3 or 4. Oh,
see, I have that one. I have that in the store. Yeah, I have it in the store. I could have sent it, but I didn't know. All right, Sonic the Hedgehog, number 41. The 1 in 10 variant here, selling for between $15 and $20. It's no news at this point on these. It's been the same forever. Star Wars High Republic Adventures, number 5. Same deal here, the 1 in 10 variant, selling for about $17. Static, season 1. Lunar sent a thank you variant, 1 per store, to all of their retailers. That's one selling steadily at between $60 and $75. The 1 in 25 variant here is selling for about $35. Usagi Yojimbo, 1 in 10 variant here. Ditto on Star Wars High Republic and Sonic the Hedgehog, selling for between $15 and $20. And then this should be the big book of the week as far as sales go. Venom 35 / 200. So it's Legacy number 200. Yeah, this is the last... Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman issue of Venom. It's the last issue of this series until they relaunch in, I think, October or November. So there's a whole bunch of covers for here. This is the $9.99 cover price book. Looks like the Jock and the Gleason variants are probably the two open to order ones that will see the most interest. Neither one of them are selling for above cover price at this point, though. But there is a 1 in 500 variant for this, which isn't one we would normally even talk about because only your huge retailer
who's approaching it
or ordering 500 copies of this. But unlike most of the super high variants that tend to run a bit below ratio, this one's actually selling pretty steadily between $500 and $650. So
that's insane.
Definitely at ratio or a little higher for that. So
it's the Jock.
Yeah, and
it's
like I said,
same
once again,
one. It's just
only your
the Virgin.
Only your top tier retailers are ordering into the 500s on this. Like I got 50. I got the 1 in 50 variant here. You know, I went up to 50 copies once you factor in all the different variants.
Right.
But 500 is just way outside of my stratosphere. So
yeah.
But anyway, that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right, let's get into John's favorite part of the week. Back issue bonus.
Go ahead, I'm ready. There we go. Hit me, Daddy. All right. Feeling a little frisky today. I don't know why. It's probably because this mic is still close to my face still. First issue we're going to talk about is from last week, Nice House on the Lake, issue number one. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. This was
I like how it's book. In back issue already.
I know, like, but it's...
Remember it's, when, John? That was... yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, I've been sold out of it for like 6 days, so...
Right, so it means it's not in your back issues.
Yeah, it's nowhere.
There's no diving.
But yeah, like I said, this is not a surprise, I don't think.
No.
But, you know, again, DC Black Label, James Tynan, is doing very well, selling for between 15 and 20 bucks. This actually came out 2 weeks ago. We talked about it last week.
We talked about it last week, yeah.
So yeah, it's a couple weeks old, but.
All right.
But yeah, like I said, I think I mentioned it, you know, last week when we talked about it. I went pretty deep on this and sold out completely, so, yeah, this one, I don't know if it's going to catch fire like Something is Killing the Children did, but definitely one that hopefully you bought based on our recommendation, if nothing else, because it was a great story, but definitely one to hold on to. So,
yep.
If you haven't found one yet, go grab one somewhere. I don't know if everybody is sold out, but it's definitely sold out at distributor level because I tried to get more and I couldn't get them, so... and next that's, up
is what, that is that the books you lost to? Not you lost, but were lost on.
No, because DC. After.
Oh yeah,
well, no,
right.
But that DC's was not. Different. Yeah, this is Lunar, so I didn't have any issues with this one. That was all
that's
Diamond
good.
Stuff. Yeah,
that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Again, it's just another one of those books where I thought I ordered a lot, and I wish, you know, going back.
Wish you ordered even more.
Even more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Thor Annual number 18. This is from 1993. It looks like a lot of people are we'll get to this, I think, in Kryptonite 2, but there's a good chance that we're going to see female Loki in the Loki series coming up. And
yep.
I guess this is
come on,
I don't know
get
if this
to
is
Kryptonite.
Her, I was going to say, I don't know if this is her first appearance or maybe just an appearance,
yeah.
But it looks like this is selling for around $30, and I guess it also came in a sealed, like a polybagged variant with a trading card, and that's selling for up to $75 if it's, you know, still sealed. So,
yeah definitely. Good luck.
Well, yeah. Well, they're out there, but
they're
harder to find.
That, and if you find that, I'd grab it at $75 because that's going to go up. I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hawkeye number one. This is from 2017. This is the first solo Kate Bishop as Hawkeye series, selling now steadily between $30 and $40.
Have you seen this
once again,
cover?
This is one. Well, yeah, this is one.
The yellow.
This is one of those books that like I made a mistake on in 2017 and ordered way too many of, just slowly have sold out of it completely.
Oh,
I didn't get $30 to $40 for them, but. You know, I steadily sold every copy of this out of my back issue bins. And I'm talking like probably like 15 copies went into my back issue bins. It was, you know, a huge mistake at the time. And,
well, you don't know.
You know, I didn't know. But this is one of those times where they actually sold. Most of my back issue bins are filled with mistakes that are still sitting there.
Come on, make a series.
This is one that... you know, I didn't get more than $5 or $6 for any specific copy of it, but but I did sell all of them. So yeah, I have seen it though. It's a really nice cover.
It is a nice cover, and doesn't she look just like? It looks like it's what's her name?
What is her
Steinfeld?
Name? Haley Steinfeld. Haley Steinfeld. Yeah,
it looks just like her. And I'm like, and this is from 2017. So I'm like, I'm wondering if they use that cover to cast her. Because it's dead on.
We need
on.
Somebody that looks like this.
Yeah. I mean, it's dead on. It's dead on. So, all right. Up next. What do we got next?
This is Savage Dragon. This isn't necessarily a specific issue, but just kind of like a PSA on a group of issues.
Yeah.
Just like Spawn, issues between 100 and 200 are very low print runs, and same thing with this Savage Dragon. So any of these issues are starting to get harder to track down, and they're starting to creep up in price on eBay sales. So I know, for instance, with Spawn, there's a few issues in that range that are selling for, you know, hundreds of dollars a piece. Savage Dragon hasn't hit that yet, and Savage Dragon will never be as popular as Spawn is. But these issues are starting to get harder to find. So if you come across them, maybe worth just picking them up and putting them back.
Well, seeing I know what Spawn is and I've never heard of Savage Dragon,
yeah,
got a little bit less.
Well, Savage Dragon was part of the initial Image run. Like, okay. He's like Eric Larson, who does Savage Dragon, is one of the like the founding five members of Image. So,
oh wow,
yeah. Todd McFarlane launched with Spawn. What's his name? Eric Larson launched with Savage Dragon. And Savage Dragon and Spawn are the, like, Savage Dragon is on issue like 250-ish or something. It's the only other title that has run continuously since Image was founded. So,
oh, really?
I did not know that. It's actually, yeah. All that being said, not super big seller and not one of my favorite characters. But, I mean, he has been around for quite a long time. So,
cool.
So like I said, these books are...
Well, I went right in the middle, and I've got book 150 in for the Image. There you go. So I went right in the middle between 100 and 200. So
can't go wrong there.
Exactly. So, all right, let's get on to another one of my favorite characters.
Oh, Spider-Punk?
Well, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man number 10 from 2014. This is the first appearance of Spider-Punk. Looks like it's selling for between $35 and $40. Spider-Punk may make an appearance in Into the Spider-Verse 2. If I had to hedge my bets, I would think he probably will.
Who isn't?
Yeah. Well, yeah, at this point, they all the spiders are.
Yeah.
All right. Legend of Zelda, number one. This is from Valiant Comics, 1990. Looks like there's rumors of some kind of adaptation brewing with Legend of Zelda. And that's got people looking for this book. Looks like it's selling now for about $100. And I guess there's a newsstand copy that has the barcode on the right-hand side of the book as opposed to the left-hand side, which I guess is an error of some kind. That one's going for about $350. So check your stock if you have it.
Check them if you got them.
Check them if you got them. Talked about this a bunch of times already. It just keeps going up.
Yep.
We live number one. Aftershock Comics is up to about $50 now. So, just keeps climbing. Sam and Twitch number one. This is a no brainer. We talked about it a little while ago.
Yep.
So this is from Image Comics, 1999. Looks like it's selling for about $25 at this moment. But, you know, again, lots of copies of this available, but, I mean, there's a bunch of copies of Spawn number one out there, too, which is their first appearance and has now jumped to, like, $80, which,
oh, wow.
You know, Spawn number one has been selling for $20 for the last 20 years, you know, like, it just really hasn't jumped at all. But, yeah, now it's seen a big jump because of this. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Interesting.
Yep. New X-Men number 133, first appearance of character called Dust. Looks like it's selling for about $20, unless you've got the newsstand edition, and that is selling for about $75. So,
right.
Again, check your copies. And then last but not least, we have Doorway to Nightmare number one. This is the first appearance of Madame Xanadu. She is rumored to possibly appear in the Zatanna or Justice League Dark projects that are being worked on. And so that has pushed this book up to about $100.
Cool.
So that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty. Let's get to this week's FOC.
Yeah. Not as much. Forgot about that one. Not as much FOC this week, but there are a few. DC Comics has a variant cover for the Joker number 5. Kerry Andrews. This is a punchline cover. I actually
cool.
like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's really
cool.
I
like it too, yeah.
And then Superman Son of Kal-El number one has multiple covers here. The A cover on this is an homage to Action Comics number one. I'm sorry, it's not Action Comics number one. It's Superman number one. And it's a pretty cool cover. So
Yep.
Interested to see what they do with this series. That's it for DC. From IDW, it looks like we have the next stage in the Kanto saga. We have Kanto Volume 3. This one's called The Lionhearted, and it's going to be a 6-issue miniseries, and it has multiple covers. From Marvel, we have variant cover for Thor number 15. This is a Tony Daniel cover. This is one of the Spider-Man villains variant covers. Which I actually like that cover too.
It's a nice cover, yeah. The lightning looks really
cool. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
And then new series or one-shots, we have Aliens Aftermath number 1 with multiple covers. I think that's just a one-shot. As well as this one, Extreme Carnage Scream, with multiple covers. Mm-hmm. And then this is a mini-series, Sinister War, number 1. It's going to be a 4-issue mini with multiple covers.
Yep.
Boom Comics has Mouse Guard Owl Hen Caregiver, issue number 1.
Rolls off your tongue.
It does, yeah. It was a tongue twister.
It's a weird cover. It's a square.
It is,
the
yeah.
Image is... What can you explain?
The cover's
that,
weird, and it doesn't have any trade dress or anything on it, so it looks funky.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It might even be a book size. It might be an odd size book release too. I'm not 100%
sure. Oh, Dr. Joe's gonna love that.
Oh yeah, I know he loves those.
Won't fit in his bins.
Black label. Yeah, if it won't fit in a bag and board, we're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And
then last but not least, from Dynamite Comics, we have Barbarella number 1 with, you know, again, multiple covers. It's Dynamite, so
it is Dynamite.
Yeah,
look at that cover.
Now that first cover, the Lucio Perillo cover, it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
And so, yeah, all we'll see. not super on board with that series, but we'll see.
No, but yeah, okay.
But yeah. And that is it. Like I said, it was a quick FOC this week.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Are you ready to get to checkout?
I am.
About a few books here?
We are.
All right. What do we have up first?
We're going to talk about two books this week, and I'm going to let you know up front, neither one of these are The Nice House on the Lake. So...
John, that's a tough call, though, because honestly, I was going to ask
neither,
you...
Neither one of these are basilisk or moths either, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
First book I read, I'm assuming you probably read too.
Yeah, read them both.
From Image Comics, it's Six Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton, issue number 1. It was written by Kyle Starks. It has art by Chris Schweizer. I don't know.
Yeah.
This basically is like a comedy mystery series. Trigger Keaton, who is billed as the main character here, is an actor that has been murdered. And he is billed here as the most unlikable action star. And he has been found, he hanged in his apartment. It's assumed to be a suicide, although the six sidekicks refer to six actors that have appeared in different projects with him as his sidekick. And one of them believes that it was murder and not suicide. So this kind of, you know, the first issue just sets the stage. We're introduced to all of these sidekicks and the interactions they had with Trigger Keaton, who, again, he comes off as, he reminded me of the main character from Scumbag a little bit.
Yeah.
A really bad guy. You know, not bad guy in the sense that he's not committing crimes or killing people, but he's just not a nice guy. You know, doesn't treat people well at all.
He's a Richard.
Yeah, exactly. He is a Richard. This series seems like it's going to follow these guys trying to solve the murder of Trigger Keaton. Each one of the sidekicks are characters in their own right. And I don't know. This I thought was fine. I didn't love it, honestly.
No, same thing.
It was okay, but I wasn't engrossed enough in this that I care about who killed him, and I probably am not going to come back for it.
Right.
But
I Yeah, same here. Yeah. I like Chew a lot better. And Assassination, I liked better better than this. And okay. I can't even say, like you said, it's like there was nothing grabbing me. By the end of it, it was more of like, oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's over. It's like, I mean, there were some funny parts, but off the top of my head, I can't remember them. Like, they weren't like, something stuck out to me for a second there, but I can't think of what it was. But it was like, I thought that like all of the characters were like, it was just played out that he was just bad and everybody had a different reason for disliking him. So it's like, I kind of figured out the next, how many issues is this? I imagine it's like six or seven.
Probably, right.
Because, you know, now we're going to go to one from each character on what they didn't like about him. And I'm like, I don't know. I just, it didn't grab me. But like you said, it's not bad. You'll be entertained as you go through because there are some little chuckle moments in there. But
there were a few. You know, and the art has a style. You know, it's stylized. Oh, it's
definitely. I thought I knew it was Chew right away.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I started reading, I'm like, oh, this is just like Chew. I thought it was a little different than Assassination, but it was.
I didn't read that, so I don't know.
I thought we read that one. I did.
Assassination? I didn't read that.
Assassination, yeah.
Assassination.
Yeah, I didn't read the whole thing. I ended up falling off of it, but I did start it. So, and I did like it. I remember liking it anyways.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you like this one a little bit better.
Well, the next book is one I had higher hopes for.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to reading, and that's Bunny Mask number one from Aftershock Comics. It was written by Paul Tobin, had art by Andrea Moody. So this is again, horror series. And again, it was weird. Like,
it was very weird.
Yeah.
It jumped all around.
I think I loved it, you know, honestly. Like, it was, I don't want to say it was hard to follow, but it was really bizarre. You know, it focuses on this guy who kidnaps the, I don't know if he was he wasn't the teacher. He was like a social worker, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And puts him to work in the cave below his house. And then through a series of events, he gets rescued, but none of the things he feels like he lived through were present in the evidence for what happened, according to the police, you know? And so, like, he kind of goes on living his life, and then, I don't want to spoil it too much, but he runs into somebody that brings everything back for him, brings him back to his past. But then you find out something right at the very end that, puts a twist even on that person. So, yeah, definitely has a horror, you know, definitely a horror book. And I don't know, it had a weird vibe to me. This one didn't grab me either, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know that I'm going to read the second issue for this either.
I kind of want to read the second issue. I enjoyed it. I want to see how this plays out because the story, the way it's going, was kind of crazy. You had the different time periods because there is a substantial time jump here.
Yeah. It's probably like a 30 year, well, maybe not
maybe
30
not,
years,
maybe
probably
20.
A 20 year, probably a 20 year.
That's
time
what I
jump.
Would have guessed. Yeah. 20 year time jump. But what is going on here? Like what, there was so much given to you that at the end, maybe you're a little overwhelmed by everything that went on. And then you like, I had to go back and figure out like how big the time jump was. I was like, wait a minute, that's the same people? That's what's going on here? And it's so
Didn't look drastically different, honestly, but the other person that you meet, obviously you could tell there was a big jump in time.
Yeah, and I hadn't noticed that up in the top corner they were giving you the different, you know, like, oh, and it said like today. So they don't tell you it's jump. It just says today. Like, okay, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, they were giving you some markers on the passing of time, but I don't think it ever really said like 20 years ago or like, I don't think they defined it specifically, but But they give you some indication that we're moving around a little bit.
They give you time or days at the beginning. They'll do day one, day two, day 17, day 30. But it is definitely a horror book. Kind of gripping as you're going to, like, you don't know what's going on. And like you said, the social workers, and it had a nice, fear to it, but I want to figure this, and it's got a nice, easy title to remember. Well, like when Bunny Mask number 2 shows up, I want to see that. And it's
right.
And I did like the way it ended, but it is a little bit overwhelming. So
I just felt a little let down. I liked, we had such good books, I felt like, last week, and I felt a little bit let down by both of these.
Yeah, that happens. Last week was fantastic. Last week was fantastic. I mean, Nice House on a Lake, I was going to ask you, now that we're here, it's like, did you get a chance to read it again?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't read it a second time, but...
So are you willing to say, like, book of the year so far? Can you think of something so far that was better this year?
This year?
2021. Because I can't. And I was...
No, I can't. I really liked this. Yeah, I really liked it. So, maybe so. I can't remember everything that's come out, but I don't
remember
this for any other books this year. Really in a while. So probably so.
Right. And if somebody asked you next week, just random person, not even in the store, like, what's your favorite book this year so far? Wouldn't that be the first one to jump to your mind? Cause I know it would probably be for me.
Probably so.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool. All right. What else do you read this week?
I read most of the other books that came out, but none of them stuck to me. The other thing I really wanted to kind of talk about a little bit was Sweet Tooth, because I did get started. I read the first trade paperback of Sweet Tooth, so I'm not super deep on it. There's 6 volumes altogether of this, but I feel like the end of the first trade paperback really coincides with the end of season 1 of the show.
Okay.
The journey is very different, but we kind of end at the same place. So I don't know if you've finished watching the show or not.
No. I'm trying to get Jen to watch it with me, so I'm still only on episode 1.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. I know the story already. So
yeah. Well, I won't go super deep on it then, because there's a lot of spoilers abound if I start talking about them. But I will say, I mentioned last week when I was talking about Dr. Joe. Talking about this series, and he's dead on with what he was saying, because these are night and day. They're other than the character having antlers and being half deer or whatever, there's not a lot of similarities between what happens in the show and what happens in this first trade paperback. Now, I haven't gone further, so I don't know if some of what we saw in the show will happen in flashbacks from other volumes of the comic series. It might. But in the show, at least, we got pretty extensive backgrounds for a lot of people that you just didn't get in the book. But there was other characters that were just completely different from the way they appeared. Jessup, or Big Man, who appears in they call him Big Man in the show. His motivations are so completely different in the book compared to what they were in the TV show that it really feels like you're reading a different story.
Right. That's what Dr. Joe
said,
too,
I don't know where that character goes as we go on, and I really am interested in reading more of this book. I felt like the show, even though the show, they're not living in a bright world, in the show, the book just feels so much darker than what we got in the show. So kind of my spoiler-free take on it. But with all that being said, I know Dr. Joe was really not sure how he was going to be in on the show, because he had read the book and the differences were a lot for him to take in. I will enjoy both of them, but realize that they're very different.
Right.
Very different things.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to reading the rest of the series, but I dug the show a lot. So, you know, I really did like it, but they're really pretty different things. So.
So I said. I mentioned earlier, our buddy Tom Bellows, he messaged me earlier in the week and he said, heard you guys talk about Sweet Tooth today. I agree with you about the art, as I almost didn't read for the first collection, but the story was so great. I read the entire series in 2 days. Highly recommended.
Yeah. I went through that first trade paperback like nothing. Like,
oh, really?
Half, like an hour maybe, you know, or whatever. Yeah, I read it pretty quickly.
Cool.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten back to it yet, but.
He also asked a question. I might as well. I'll throw this out there too. He said DC's Future State run sucked. Correct.
Correct.
And I wrote, John and I weren't fans. Just couldn't get into it. Some people liked it though.
I can't say definitive because I didn't read a lot of it, you know, past issue one. So I can't say unequivocally that it sucked, but yeah. I was not a fan.
TLDR liked it though. Dr. Joe and Nick enjoyed it.
Yeah, and even listening to their last show, they were a little bit higher on like the new Gotham. What's it called?
Future State, not Future State.
There's the new Gotham series that's out. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but they seem to like that more than I did too. Because I read the first issue, I thought it was okay. When I got to the second issue, yes. I thought it fell off drastically, and I didn't even finish it. I found myself not caring at all about it, so I stopped reading it. So it just doesn't seem to be for me. I don't like what they're doing there in the Future State stuff. So
yeah, I think we're more of a we like the nostalgic stuff. We're old, John.
Get off my lawn, DJ.
Exactly. Actually, you and I are the only ones allowed on the lawn.
That's right.
Get off the lawn, you know. But hey, we're old men, John.
I guess it's called Future State Gotham now that I'm thinking of it, right?
That's the title of it.
So.
But I read Eve number 2. Enjoyed that. Still enjoying that series. The Good Asian, I believe that was number 2, right?
It was number 2. You know, and I didn't read either one of those.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah, I need to read The Good Asian. Good I like that one.
Yeah, you do, because it's so much like Warrior. I'm mixing the two up. When I'm reading it, I'm like, am I spoiling Warrior? It's so close. What did you think of Justice League Last Ride, number 2? Did you read that?
I did. I still like it. I like that series.
Yeah.
I liked the first one a lot. I'm gonna say it's a letdown. I don't know if I liked it as much as issue one, but it was still good. Like I'm definitely on board for that series.
What I like about it is, just like we said, it's a little bit of that old school fun. Mm-hmm. It just they're working together. You've got the Justice League work. It just seems like more fun. What Wally's in this one though?
Yes,
and it's he's cracking jokes and stuff. But I enjoyed it. It's funny. I opened it. I'm like, am I reading this one? I start reading it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I am. Okay, keep going.
Well, and that's Chip Zdarsky. So
exactly, that's
kind of on board.
Yeah,
right away with that. So
yeah, and Joker. What are we on 4 now?
Oh, 4. Yes, yeah, so I read that too. I like that.
Really good. Yeah, that series is just going really, really well. So
yeah,
that was about it for this week, I think, for me. I didn't get to Geiger. I think we're on four on that.
I did
as
read
well.
Geiger. Yeah,
how
Geiger
is it?
still really good. Really good series. I think
it's
that
up
was
on my end table to read.
Three?
Next.
I think that was number 3.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay. I think we talked about 4 coming out or something.
Yeah. What did I get? I did read a lot. I just couldn't remember most of them. But now that I'm thinking about it, I read Nocterra number 4. I really like Nocterra. That's a great series. And I read Geiger. I know I read a bunch of stuff, but the thing that stuck out for me was Sweet Tooth. But I did read most of those releases.
All right. All right. You ready to get to Real World then?
Yeah.
While we're chatting about Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
All right, John, what was on your screen right, this
yeah,
week?
Yeah, well, let's just finish up with Sweet Tooth because we finished it. Yeah, we finished that. I think we had three left or four left when we recorded last week, so we finished those on Thursday. I finished the show before I read the book, so really enjoyed the season. Coming into it cold and not knowing anything about the story, I don't know if that influenced me one way or the other, but I really enjoyed it. And now, even after having read the book, I can see the differences, but I still appreciate the show. So, I'm definitely looking forward to season two on that. Interested to see where they go. And then we watched The Infinite, which is the new movie with Mark Wahlberg and Chiwetel Ejiofor, whatever his name is. This was very old guard.
Yes.
Berserker, Highlander type of thing.
I watched it last night. I was exhausted, but I put it on. I fell asleep, and my son and I were just talking about it, and he's like, "What did you think of the movie?" And I go, "I fell asleep, but that's not an indictment on the movie. I really enjoyed it. I liked the home theater experience."
Yeah.
But I fell asleep, so him and I are going to watch it together tomorrow.
It was
a
good home theater movie.
Yes.
It had its ups and downs. Like, it was a little derivative in some ways because it was very familiar.
Yeah.
But
you know what I said to
him?
And
it was like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
I go, a lot of people might not like it, but you and I will. Talking about me and Joe, because he's like, we like fun stuff like that. It doesn't have to be great writing. It's a Mark Wahlberg movie.
And it was a Mark Wahlberg movie. And the funny thing is, like, I'm watching that show about people that have lived through all their past lives and like all this fantastical stuff. And then I'm finding myself with the stunts going, give me a break. There's no way they could do that. Like when he jumps off the cliff on the motorcycle and lands on the wing of the plane, I'm like, come on, dude. Like even I can't buy that. You know, it's like some of it is so weird, but then I'm like, oh, I have no problem believing that.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I like the trailer.
Doing
like
this or that.
It takes 10,000 hours to master something. Imagine if you had 1,000,000 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. Be pretty good at it.
I'd be pretty good
at it. I don't know if there's 1,000,000 hours of jumping off cliffs with a motorcycle to land on airplane wings, but
yeah.
But yeah, all in all, it was fun. Like it wasn't, you know. It wasn't the smartest movie I've seen.
Exactly. But, it's not going to change the world, but it was fun. It was entertaining.
But it was fun.
Grab a box of popcorn.
It was a fun 2 hours. Put it on, turn up the stereo or whatever, and watch it. It was fine.
Nice. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's one I was going to ask you about. Okay.
Okay. Then we watched season 2 of Selena was on Netflix.
Okay.
And we watched that. That actually came out a little while ago, but we kind of forgot that it was on. But we watched season 1 a while back and liked it. So, it was really good. Now, this is the end of the story. Spoilers, but Selena gets killed at the end. So that takes place at the end of season 2. So there won't be a season 3, obviously.
Wow. But, for anybody out there wanting to binge those two, there you go.
I mean, I feel like it's out there, but maybe I just spoiled it. The show?
Yeah.
Oh, it's brand new. the show is season 2 came out 2 or 3 months ago. Selena's a real person. Like everybody knows she's dead. Like it's not a spoiler to say that Selena was killed.
there was
a movie with J-Lo 20 years ago.
Right. Oh, it's that story. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I got
it's
you.
Selena. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so the whole story wraps
just
up
her,
here.
This is just her life story, but it takes place over 2 seasons, and it ends with her being killed.
Oh, okay. So that's not a spoiler. Okay. I thought it was a
spoiler.
I'm with you.
It just wraps up the story, and, you know, the thing is,
it's like knowing that
the
Titanic's going to sink.
Exactly.
Right.
Halfway through the season, I wasn't sure if they were going to get there or not, and I wasn't sure if they were going to have another season or what have you, but it ends up wrapping up. But, it was really good. I mean, again, if you don't know the story, it's just like the movie, except more of it. And,
more story.
You know, you get more story here. But it was really – I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
I'll have to – maybe Jen and I will check that one out, meaning it's only 2 seasons.
You guys might like it. Yeah, it's only 2 seasons. And again, it was like – I don't remember what season 1 was exactly, but season 2 was 8 like 30 to 35 minute episodes. Oh, so it's cool. Not like it's a long, like we just plowed through it on Sunday afternoon. Like it was like 4.5 hours, you know, it was like watching the Snyder Cut, you
right.
know?
Oh yeah.
So, and then I ended up being off yesterday because my store didn't have AC, so I couldn't work. So, I watched,
only in Texas.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it was just too dang hot.
Oh, no, there. I know. I know.
So I watched, I came home and I did some work at the house, and then in the afternoon I watched a few things. So I finished watching MODOK, which I think I had 4 left of that, and that was fine. It was funny. You know, again, I mentioned before, it was just kind of very Robot Chicken, you know, that kind of comedy and humor. So it was fine. And then I watched Raya and the Last Dragon. Because that was a Disney Premier Access movie that went free to basically free for all this week. So I watched that. I actually enjoyed it. It was cute. You know, I mean, it's not the best in the way of like the Pixar movies, but it was good. You know, I had fun watching that. I thought it was pretty decent. Watched the first episode of Home Before Dark season 2.
Hey, I was going to ask you about that. We caught that too.
That dropped on Friday, so we watched the first episode of that.
Cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's good.
Yeah, I liked that season 1 a lot. We talked about it at length when it was on. Yeah, it looks like it's off to a good start. It's just 1 episode so far.
I get now I think because it's season 2, I'm getting to the point where, like I said, it's a cute show. But she's not as cute anymore because I find myself going, like, she's still a cute kid.
Right.
But where she's like, you know, like she's getting frustrated as a reporter when in actuality, I mean, in real life, she's not a reporter. She's never been a reporter. She's just been a kid that people took, like, she took advantage of their ignorance of her intelligence.
Right.
And now she's like, I'm a real reporter. They got to respect. No, that's the point of being a reporter. Nobody has to respect you.
Right.
They can ignore you. It's your job to dig it out. And she, I feel like in a real world scenario, I feel like her as a little kid, she got away with a lot of stuff that most reporters would never get to do. Right. And I'm finding myself in this one being a little bit like John here going, toughen up, kid. You had it easy the first time around. Now you got to earn it.
Well, and kind of like you said, like what was cute in season 1, it's like this time around in the premiere, like that whole scene where she's like trying to bully her way through the police station.
I
was kind of like, yeah, that might not fly anymore, you know?
Right.
It's like you got away with it the first, like in season 1.
Yeah.
But
talking to that guy, like, and who are you? Like, do you know who I am?
I'll tell you what got me actually, like my John moment though, was like when
John has John moments.
When she walked out of the police station and the now sheriff
is chasing
was chasing her down the road, screaming her name. I was like, all right, that's my John moment there. I'm like, come on already.
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to win the approval of this 10-year-old? You know, you're the sheriff, you know? So
I agree.
I do know what you're saying there, but all in all, I think it's a fun show.
Oh yeah.
This should
absolutely
be a pretty good season. Yep. It kind of continues the mystery that, you know, we had in season 1. So should be good.
Yep. Enjoying that.
All right. And I got one more thing. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about my my novella that I'm watching, my Spanish soap opera. We watched a couple. Well, here's the thing: we watched a couple more episodes of this, and then I found out that there is an English language remake of this show that was done on USA.
Fantastic.
And so it's that, you know, it's a completely different cast. And it was done for USA, so it's, you know, USA TV quality show. And
is that good or bad?
No, good. Saying, it's not like a soap opera. It's more like a weekly drama.
Like a CW.
It's an hour drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's called Queen of the South, which is the English translation of this show. And I actually will recommend, like, I think you will like it.
Queen of the South. Is it on
Hulu? It's called Queen of the South. It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Stars Alice Braga, is the main character in this one. You'll recognize her when you see her. She's not super well known. She played the doctor in The New Mutants. And she's been in a couple of other things. Yep. Like, you'll recognize her when you see her.
Right.
She plays the main character in this. Now, it is, the themes are similar to the other show that I was watching, although that was very much a soap opera and this is very much like a drama. So there's lots of things. Like, this has four seasons that are total 56 episodes, I think. Season one of the other show is 65 episodes because you get into a lot of the soap opera stuff that this show just doesn't have, you know? So,
nice.
We have kind of transitioned to watching this version of it because number one, it's better. And two, it's much easier for me to watch because it's in English and I can understand it better. But I think you'll like it. It's actually a really good show. So,
okay.
So you should check that out. And Jen would probably like it as well. So,
all right. Cool.
Yeah.
The only thing
that was we had a lot this week.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, and we touched on most of the stuff I've watched. The only one we haven't touched on is Lucifer. We're still plugging away. I think we have one episode left of that, which I'm going to watch as soon as we're done here. Very much looking forward to it. But nice. I did find out this week that Jen's not enjoying Lucifer as much as I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She doesn't like it as much, huh?
She doesn't like the season as much. And I was like, really? I was like, I thought we were dragging it out because we wanted to drag it out. And she's like, nope,
I could care less. Just finish it.
And what's funny is it came up in the middle of an episode. She just looked over at me and goes, can we go back to the musical one? And I was like, what? Like, because she really loved that one. We both did.
Right.
But yeah, it's like she's not enjoying it. I think she just wants them to get to the point. And I'm enjoying the story.
Where are you? You said you only have one left.
One or two, maybe, something like that.
Okay, so you kind of know where the gist of this season is.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's really Lucifer's
like the war for heaven and hell.
It's coming. It's right. I've just got to that point where they find out Michael is behind a lot
everything.
Of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah. And
we'll
so
see.
Yeah. Then you it really sets up like what season six is going to be, and should be actually pretty different. I think season six is going to be very different than what the previous five seasons have been.
Right. Right.
Because I feel like we're not going to have the murder mystery of the week type of thing.
Right.
But what I didn't bring up last time, because I wasn't sure how far you'd gotten yet.
Yeah.
Like, you were talking about Dan. Like, that episode where they tricked Dan into thinking he, like, was involved in that murder
plot. That was
great. And that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
like,
awesome.
That was so good. And the Lucifer's like, oh, yeah, it cost me, like, I don't know, $5 million or something to put that together. Like, nothing, you know?
Well, because like, money's meaningless to them.
I mean, he is the
them.
Devil, right?
And
yeah,
he's been
devil,
around
but,
for centuries. So,
yeah.
I mean, you
but
put
I was
2 cents
like, oh,
away.
Yeah, sure, $9 million or $5 million. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked how they even tied that in later with his whole taking over type thing. Like, I guess you could multitask. You could do all this because you did all this. Right. And they did it all behind Chloe's back.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, she didn't even know about it.
Right. So. It wasn't until, like, what, an episode later when it came up, her and Dan were talking and she was like,
yeah.
He did what? Like,
right.
Nobody knew about it. And I loved, like, Lucifer's, like, it was so close there when you almost said something. But I love that, like, Dan, you're just so predictable.
Yep.
Like, they knew, like, for the story
to
play
exactly
out.
Exactly what, yeah.
How did you know I was going to make this decision at this point? You're just that predictable. I knew how the story would play out. It's like, that's a fun one to go back and watch again.
It was a great episode. Yeah. That whole thing with the kid, the bike shop and all those, all that stuff. And it was like really cool.
Did you not know that was all? I was guessing the entire time that this was either a dream or it was fake.
I knew at least halfway through it. Like, I didn't know right off the bat, but
yeah.
By the time they got so far down the road, I was like, "This something's not right here." I thought it was probably a dream or something too.
Way things were laying out and the way they were shooting it too, like the main bad guy in that scene, he was like the close-up shots of his face were just like they were so over the top that I go, they have to be exaggerating something here.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was a great episode.
But yeah, I knew you'd like that one, but I didn't want to bring it up last time because I wasn't sure if you had seen it yet.
I don't think I had. I don't think I'd seen
probably.
That. I think we saw that this week. So,
yeah, cool.
All right, I'll probably have that wrapped up by next week. So no promises, though. You never know.
No promises. I mean, yeah. You got one whole episode to get to, so.
You never know. It's like, that's why I am, to touch base on Lock and Key again, I am kind of looking forward to that, because it's not often that it's harder to find shows that Jen's really interested, that I would be, that would be for the show and stuff. So that one we did enjoy together. We had conversations about it. So I'm kind of looking forward to that one as well. So
you guys would probably both enjoy Selena, and I think you'd both enjoy Queen.
I think we're going to try
that. I think
you'd
both enjoy Queen of the South too. So I would definitely check both of those out, especially if you're looking for things to watch together. I think you'd like both.
Oh, definitely.
You should probably like both of those.
All right. You ready to get to a little bit of Bad Batch?
Sure.
All righty. Let's do that. So this week's episode, I thought was one of my favorite ones so far. How about you?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I liked seeing seeing Rex again. I liked that basically we've removed the I don't know how much spoilers we want to go into, but we've basically removed the inhibitor chips. So like there's kind of no chance of any of them sliding backwards from this point on.
Well, did they remove all of them?
I think they did.
Or
because
just,
they showed Wrecker. I mean, Wrecker was the big one.
Was the big one.
But then
after,
kind of like at the end of the show, they showed them all sitting around with like the Band-Aids on their heads.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it looks like they kind of taken care of everybody. But, you know, the only part of it that was like, I don't know what was Rex's purpose there? Like, did he go find them specifically to take their, like, why was he there? You know what I mean?
Right.
That was the whole thing.
That's a good question.
I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Like, because he shows up in mystery. He kind of has the whole Lord of the Rings Aragorn thing happening there at the beginning.
Strider.
Where he's cloaked in mystery.
So
and,
he's the
know,
one.
You don't know who he is.
Right. And he answers that question from the last episode that we were wondering. And you thought
maybe
I think
it was
Obi-Wan.
Him. Yeah.
Right. It was him with the same colored. Cloak.
Right, so I guess he's working with the Martez sisters, right? But
he knows of them. Yeah,
but then he shows up and it's like don't really know why, and then he's kind of like flabbergasted that they haven't removed their chips yet. So then the whole episode turns into basically that, and then once that's done, he just bolts and he disappears.
So what about the possibility that that's what it was? Like he knew, I want to check these guys out, see if they're okay, because they, you know.
He must have heard about them from the sisters, right?
Right.
And so maybe he went just to check on the chips. I'm not really sure, but
his whole
reason for being, I didn't quite understand, but that didn't take away. I mean, the episode itself, I thought was really good. You know.
So what did you think of the end of it? They kind of ended this one the same way as they ended the last one, where Rex is on the radio talking to somebody. Who's he talking to?
Right.
I don't think it's the sisters. I feel like he's...
No, and that was the whole thing. Like,
and
was
I'm
it
trying
Rex
to put
that
time
we saw? Or was it whoever Rex is working for that we saw? You know what I mean?
What
because,
do you mean?
Like at the end of the last episode when we saw the hologram, we thought it was Obi-Wan maybe.
Right, good point.
Could have been Rex, or maybe it's whoever Rex is working with. You
right.
Because, we still don't know... Like, he says they're working for the Resistance or the Republic or whatever they call it. And he's still working for the, you know, the good guys. So who is that? Like, who's that team? Who are they working for? Is it Saw Gerrera?
Could be.
I don't know. So I don't think we've seen the last of him. But, you know, the next time you see Rex is in Rebels. So
right, and that's why I was trying to put timelines together. Where because he says, "What's his name?" The head Bad Batch guy.
Hunter? Is it Hunter?
Yeah, he goes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the one that looks like Stallone.
Yeah.
he says, "Like, if you ever need us, you know how to get a hold of us."
Right.
You know that they end up doing that in Rebels. They get a hold of them, and it's which is kind of funny. Like when they go bad or the sniper guy that's gone bad here in this series.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in Rebels?
I don't remember.
I think we
honestly,
had this conversation.
I don't remember. Yeah. I'd
have
to
go
back
and
watch
it
again. Cause I don't remember their story in Rebels.
right?
You know exactly what happened with them.
But Wrecker going bad in this episode, you knew everything was going to get cleared up because he goes on. You know, he was in Rebels, so, and you know when they meet up with him.
Anyways, yeah, because I know. Of who he is. But,
right.
But yeah, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was good. You know, it just advances the story a little bit more. Again, we got to keep in mind that this is a 16-episode deal, so it feels like it's moving slow. But we got a long way to go.
That's why I don't mind talking a little bit of spoilers on it. Cause I can't imagine a lot of people are going to binge this. It's like, this is one day, 16 episodes. It's taken the summer. It's a good one to, you know,
water cooler talk. Only getting one a week anyway. Right. So I feel like if you care enough about the spoilers, you probably have already seen it because it's only a 20-minute commitment every week to watch it.
Exactly.
So. By the time you get into us on Wednesday, it's been a whole week already. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know anybody. And if you're waiting till it's over to binge it, you're not going to remember anything we said anyway.
So, yeah, exactly. You know. So, all right. That should do it for Bad Batch. You know what we didn't talk about?
What?
What are we looking forward to next week? Let's wrap up with that. Then we'll go into Kryptonite. But we never said what we're talking about for books next week.
Yeah. So Image Comics has Compass, number one. And then Aftershock has Seven Swords, number one. So those are the two that I'm planning on checking out.
What have you heard about? They're out today. So as
they're out today. I haven't. I've seen the. You know, I've seen them both, but I haven't had a chance to read either one. I mean, honestly, I don't know anything about either one. They're just the number ones that came out.
Okay. All right.
They're just the indie number ones. So that's kind of my criteria at this point on what I'm gonna. You know what we're gonna check out. So
right.
Neither one of these have buzz for me. Like last week. Okay. You know we had Moths and the other one that were. You know we were kind of looking forward to these are just the just
number
the books
ones.
That are,
okay.
Yeah, just the number ones that are coming out. So
Seven Swords looks kind of fun.
It
I like
does.
The cover of it. I like the you know little swashbucklers or something.
Yeah, it looks. It should be good. I'm hoping it's good. Anyways, but
like
it's
Aftershock.
Very much the. Yeah, and it's the Japanese, you know,
Seven Samurai,
Shogun. Yeah, Seven Samurai type of thing. So I'm always down for that anyway. So we'll see.
We will see. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We will wrap it up right there. We will be back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get into some Loki. Hey, stay tuned.
I was told at the top that we were going right into it.
That's right. All right, let's get to that. In the meantime, if you're not sticking around for that, you can reach us. You can reach John at Arkham Comics with an X on Twitter, and you can reach us or me at brightside_chat. You can reach both of us by email, thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can check us out along with Comic Talk Today over at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Check us out along with the Nerdy Legion podcast. What have you watched lately? All of this great stuff. nerdylegion.com podcast network. Easy for me to say. Why did my mouth almost
easy to say.
Fall
tongue
off?
Tongue twister. Yeah, I don't
know. And you can check us out on YouTube if you're not already.
You're not one of the 18
privileged we grabbed
viewers.
Another one this week. Somebody hit subscribe, so that's pretty cool. We were at 17, which is my favorite number, and now we're at 18, so that's pretty cool too. So maybe we'll top 20 this week, John, huh? That would be two sets of 10. I don't know.
Yeah, two tens.
All right, let's get out of here. I want to get to Kryptonite.
All right. Live long and prosper.
100. All right, John, I know where the button is. I know everything. Are you ready?
I am.
Is that door locked now?
It is locked.
Oh, look at that. Perfect. Like we did it in rehearsal. All right, you ready? Loki.
Yeah, hit me, man.
Spoilers.
Hit me.
The question everybody wants to know, what did you see in that drawer? The drawer, the junk drawer that had
the
stones.
You're talking about the Infinity Stones?
Yeah, Infinity Stones. What else was in there? Did you notice anything?
Oh, no.
See, Joe and I got up.
I didn't pay enough attention to it, I guess.
So what was cool is there's a Joe and I got up to the screen.
Okay.
Similar to when you and I were doing our little thing there.
Yeah.
So we got up real close to the screen, and you can actually read the tags and stuff, It looked that nice. Looked really good. So that's a Honus Wagner baseball card that's nice. In there. There's a French Medal of Honor in there. There's another baseball card underneath. Obviously, we have the Infinity Stones. It looks like up in the top. I don't have the image in front of me. I'm just going by Joe and I reading these things. It looks like kind of some kind of like a magnet, something maybe like a Tony Stark might have worked on or something like you know, to generate power. But a lot of it was, I think it's supposed to be a mixture of things that are powerful to us, but also like they're important, but to them, it's just a junk drawer. And I think that was the point of the drawer. And which,
like, Honus Wagner is the most valuable baseball card in the world, right? So,
right,
yeah, and it's sitting in a junk drawer.
And exactly,
of course, the Infinity Stones. We know what the Infinity Stones are, and yet they're nothing.
They use them as paperweights. Right. And what's funny is, like, did you notice that entire drawer that we're looking into, and we're trying to figure out what's into it? Because people on Twitter were talking about it. I had people ask me about it, and I'm like, it got disintegrated.
Right.
And nobody cared. And then we're all like, in real life, you'd be like, whoa, those are Infinity Stones. These are this. So like, even the idea of somebody grabbing those stones, which there are more left around the office
because they said they're using paperweights. Yeah.
So that means there's more than six of them because there's multiple timelines. So they're just grabbing them from here and there and throwing them in a drawer. So who knows how many Infinity Stones really are out there, because just think of just that bit of conversation right there and that drawer, and we went all through Infinity War and Endgame. How do we get back? How do we get the stones? How do we do this? And it's like, here's this universe watching it, or the
TVA,
the TVA watching it and saying like, haha, that's funny. That's so cute. They don't know how to get more stones. They're throwing an Infinity Stone up in the air, watching this on a TV monitor. Similar to WandaVision.
Yeah. The other thing about it too was like, it shows to Loki the futility of his life, right? Because like, he has spent his entire life in the pursuit of power and like those stones and all of that stuff. And then like, he's faced with this reality of like how meaningless all of that was. Even going back to when he's being interviewed by Mobius, Owen Wilson, like, he kept asking him, it's like, what would you do? Like, you want to rule for what? Like, what would you do? Like, he didn't have an answer. Like, he really had no answer for that, right? It's just like, everybody says, well, I want to rule. I want to get here, right? All the villains have this plot. And nobody really asks him, like, well, what are you going to do when you get there?
When you get there,
like,
right.
Right. What's the reason for all of that? And
so
most of
them
are like, I don't know. Like,
right.
Owen Wilson, I don't know why I want to rule. It's just because that's what villains want to do. They want to rule, right?
Right.
So
adding so much more depth.
I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. So it showed him, like I said, the futility of everything he's thought was important in his life. And it's just like, meaningless, you know, it just doesn't mean anything, you know.
But at the end of the day, isn't that what we are?
Well, all of us, right.
We work so hard to do like something, like to be something. And at the end of the day, it's like, if you get 80 years, you're like, wow. But in the grand scheme of things, who cares?
And the thing is, you've accomplished something that's very meaningful in your life, right? But it doesn't register to anybody. Like, it doesn't mean anything in the scheme of things. It's insignificant to the world.
Power of the Force.
Yeah, but it's exactly. but for you, it was this thing, right? Like, you've achieved this goal or something that strived for forever.
Right.
But that's what people are, right?
We are the center of our own universes, right?
Exactly.
But now here's Loki finding out that the actual center of the universe, going, wait a minute. Not only that, it's not that it's like, I feel like when I say that, like, you and I, we're the center of our own universes. John, you're in your own universe. Everything around you is happening to you. All right.
Right.
Everything I say is happening to you in your universe and vice versa. So we feel like we're in control of this. But now here's Loki thinking he's in control of things and he wants to control things and he wants to do all of this. And then you find out your path is already chosen for you. Because these people know where you're going. You don't even know where you're going. You think you're manipulating people to get where you want to be. And he thinks he's the mastermind. It's like, and I love Owen Wilson saying, like, what were you saying? He goes, for somebody that wants to rule, you lose a lot.
Right. Right. Well, like, and the thing is, yeah.
Kind of your thing.
Well, and the thing is, like, nothing registered for him until he started to see the things that like his future, right? Like
right.
Everything that they were showing him from the past didn't register to him at all. It was just kind of like, yeah, it's whatever. This was my plan, and I'm still going to do this.
Right.
But then they start showing him, well, this is what happened. This is like, you know,
your
it's
mother.
A wonderful life. Like your It's a Wonderful Life moment. Like what happens, you know, in this timeline where you weren't here or where you did these things. And yeah, then he sees his mother being killed and he sees all these other things that happened. And he sees him fighting alongside of his brother, which at this point, this version of Loki is still at odds with Thor, right? Like they haven't come together. And all of that stuff is when he realizes that, yeah, he has no control. He has no choices. That it's just.
Right.
You know, you said, everything's laid out for him. And
then he sees the end of his life.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
he
like,
sees himself being killed. Yeah.
And he realizes he's like at the beginning of this, he thinks that this is all laid out by like, well, how about go back to, which I thought this was a really cool scene too. The scene when he says he realizes there was time travel involved with the Avengers, and he goes, he didn't know it at the exact moment, but here he is, you know, at the TVA and dealing with them. And he's like, okay, so time travel was involved because I smelt the scent of two Tony Starks, which was an awesome line, but that was what gave him the clue that they were dealing with time travel here. But he thought that they used time travel to battle him because this is the 2012 Loki. But then he finds out later on that not only was that had nothing to do with him, that his entire life, he thought this was all about his ascension to greatness. Right. He never gets there. He just gets killed.
Right.
So he's like, my whole life, which I think is all about going to this. And as a god, you don't think there is an end to your life. But here he is seeing the end of it at a young age where it's. Yeah. As a god, I mean, he knows he doesn't live forever because his father didn't, and there is a lifespan, but it's just so great compared to everybody else's.
It's right. It's essentially immortality.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, I thought it was powerful when his mother got killed and you saw how emotional he was with that. But I thought like when he saw his own death and that's when he realized like, wait a minute, my life is finite. And I never get to do everything I think I've been working for. It never happens.
Right.
And it's just what a setup episode. And for like, I get what you're saying where they went and they jumped around, but I think that's the point of the story. And that's, I think they're going to jump around, maybe not in the existing universe, but here we are. They set you up and jumped around in episode one in the existing universe. So you got the feel for that. But now they're going to jump around on stuff that we've never seen before, I bet.
Right.
And it gives it credibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like how they ended the episode.
Well, right. Because that's the other thing too, right? Like ultimately they need him to hunt himself down. So, like, where is that? Like, what variant is that that's out there doing all of these things?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, where does that variant come from? And, you know, again, the big speculation is that it's going to be Lady Loki. Or at least Lady Loki will make an appearance. Because at some point, I don't know if you saw, like, when they had, like, his intake form and they had all his information.
Fluid. Gender fluid.
Under gender, it says fluid. So,
but that could mean anything. Because he can change into anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not gender fluid in the sense of his sexuality. It's gender fluid in the sense that he's a shape changer and he will be whatever he needs to be for any given situation. So I think we'll see a version of female Loki at some point in this show. Now, whether the antagonist is female Loki or not, or maybe at some points it will be and some points it won't be, who knows. But yeah, it's interesting. like I said, there's a lot of things there. I think it's going to be a good show. Don't get me wrong. I never disliked it at all, but I didn't. I don't know. I don't think so far it was as good for me as WandaVision still. So
we'll see, I liked it because I think it is changing the MCU even more than WandaVision did. And that might just be like more of, you know, recency bias, because when we were going through WandaVision, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, because we thought it was going to change the universe so much, and it ended up only tweaking it a little bit. And of course, we thought we were going to get more characters or saw a big reveal at the end. So that kind of brought the level of excitement at the end down a little bit, but it still is a great story. This here, I think, I mean, it's only 6 episodes, but it has an opportunity to really, because they're trying to show you Secret Wars. They're trying to show you the entire, I mean, we're seeing the timelines. And is Steve Rogers on their radar? And I don't know if you saw that scene when he's standing in the hallway and somebody comes through and it looks like it's Peggy. And it's like, what if she, like, Steve's supposed to do what he did, but she's not supposed to okay it. Like, I'm just imagining this scenario where he shows up on her doorstep and like, I'm ready to live with you. And when they dance at the end and they show him dancing, maybe in the real timeline, she's supposed to say no. And then he just ends
up
back.
Or that creates variant. Right.
Exactly. In this one variant, she says yes. And it creates a time variant, which the issue is, as they laid out the time variant, it could be something minor. All it takes is just to go off. And the one Loki's on right now, they show how steep it is going up to the red line. Maybe a minor one is, it takes longer, but it's still a variant, and you'll eventually get there with enough time. So many interesting things. Another one was this happens over and over again. They keep showing, remember they were showing Loki's life, and like, here, you tell, and you send them off to kill your mother. And it's like, and it happens over and over again. So they just keep watching all this stuff on a loop.
Yeah.
And when you go, it's like, it's just crazy how
crazy,
but it's going to be so much fun. I'm looking forward to it more than I did the other two. And I, you know how much I love those. So. Anything else?
I don't think so.
You did good, John.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week with more Loki, because Loki drops. It's dropped as you're listening to
this.
It's
dropped today, yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. We got Wednesdays and Fridays now. All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
All right. Let's get into the star.
All right. I'm always waiting for the bell.
You're like,
it never comes.
Right. It's so funny, because you're like Sheldon at the end, like where they're like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And you move on to something.
I'm
like,
waiting
goes,
for it.
Yeah, you're waiting for it. That episode when they did the dominoes.